Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Jacket Russell?
Russell Crowe.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It is Russell Crowe.
Is it picking up on them? I mean, it will if I do this.
Turns out. I don't know whether I can hear it through the thing or I can just hear it.
Interesting.
But
is this Jumper fine. Russell?
Yeah. Russell it's Crow? Also Russell Crowe.
Yeah. Russell Crowe made it for me. All right.
You know what news I loved recently?
What's that?
Mattel becoming so confident with their Barbie movie.
Oh, yes.
And I guess just properties in general.
This is pre-release, by the way.
This is pre-release. That they are raiding the toy box. And by that I mean they're working on 45 different Mattel properties for the big screen.
Oh my God, James, when all of those are a success, they can combine them into a Mattel-iverse. Haha, just kidding, they're all going to fail.
No, wait, we've got Hot Wheels, we've got Matchbox, we've got Polly Pocket, we've got He-Man.
Matchbox, just the concept of a Matchbox.
Just a Matchbox.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, play with these matches.
We got
they're magical. They can burn down anything.
Absolutely. Mm. They got He-Man, they got Rock Them Sock Them Robots, they got Magic 8-Ball, American Girl, Uno, Viewmaster. You know Viewmaster, you look through a thing and you go, oh yeah, that's a picture.
Yeah, it's a boat or something, that's great. Oh, all the boats of the world. What if it was magic though?
No.
Oh.
Anyways, welcome to Caravan of Garbage, where this week we're talking one of the biggest swings, I guess, at bringing a toy to cinemas. A Mattel product also, as well as Barbie. He-Man.
We were going to watch a Barbie computer animated movie.
I started it, the first one.
And then you were like, but wait, we're men, we're a couple of bloody men.
No, I mean,
we're two, we can't watch a movie for girls, we're going to watch a movie for men.
I started it and I'm like, I fucking hate this.
Okay.
But also, it was made in an era with technology for a completely different demographic that's not me, direct to video.
Yeah, right.
Like, what am I doing?
Right?
You know?
And plus, if the video did really well, we'd have to do all of them, and there's like 50. So we're not going to do that. Instead, we're like, oh my God, let's watch 1987's Masters of the Universe.
Now, what's interesting about Masters of the Universe is that it asks the question, what if Star Wars until the budget ran out?
Oh my God. You're absolutely right.
We've got a sand planet. We've got stormtroopers. We've got a Darth Vader. We've got a Yoda. We've got assorted freaks. Mm. We've got New Jersey. That's the point where the budget.
That's exactly right. Well, see, I saw this as a kid.
Me too.
I saw this
in the 90s.
Yeah, well, I saw this in the 80s when it came out at cinemas. And prior to that, I had been, I'll say a fan of the cartoon series. But what I really mean is, you know, I was...
It was on.
Yeah, and I was... it was shot into my eyeballs as a child. But what it, you know, and the thing about that cartoon is it's the never-ending battle between, you know, the good guys, you know, He-Man's forces and Skeletor's forces to control the great magic of Castle Grayskull.
But Skeletor already has a great castle, by
right?
He's got fucking Snake
what
Mountain.
Do you want, what do you want, one and an investment property? Get out of here. But you know...
Boomer-ass bitch.
That's right. But as was the tradition of cartoons at the time, the status quo never changed, obviously, right?
Yeah.
It never, you know, the storyline from episode to episode never really evolved in any way. So in watching this one, I'm like, as a kid, I'm like, oh my God, Skeletor, he's got Castle Grayskull. Like, I'm sure I didn't have the words for it at the time, but I'm like, this plot, like, this has gotten, like, it's bigger and it's epic.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Like,
he's a big hologram.
And this is real and it's in the real world now. And that's amazing to me. But, like, as an adult rewatching this, I'm like, this is such a small movie. Like, it's such a, like, they've clearly gone, okay, we need to build for purpose, like, two sets. We've got to build one room in Castle Grayskull.
Yep.
And like Gwildor's apartment. And the rest we can just borrow some sets from like the small town dramedy that's recording next door.
Absolutely.
Just a
real music shop.
That's exactly, a music shop and a main road in a small town and a kid's bedroom and a warehouse, whatever. I appreciate they built a couple of big weird vehicles.
Oh, absolutely. I love a big weird vehicle. Actually, speaking of Star Wars, Ralph McQuarrie actually worked on this a few years prior, and there's a bunch of early concepts, which you can see, here they are, and he put a bunch of big, weird vehicles in it, because that's all He-Man was, just looking at a vehicle and go, that's not right.
How's that going to move? I like a crab, but it's a bird. It's a big bird, though. Why is it? Oh, I don't know. It's all right. It's fallen down the cliff, and there's another one. I gotta buy the next one as well. I'm gonna keep buying.
Absolutely.
But yeah. So for people new to,
I can't stress how big this property was.
Yeah.
If you look at the numbers this franchise was doing,
yeah,
it's astounding. This failed so hard.
Yeah, yeah. But this is perhaps it's because this is the work, of course, of the Cannon Group.
Yeah.
Famously, low budget movie maestros and sometimes softcore porno.
Yeah.
But
pick your poison.
That's right. And just the scrimping and saving, or you know, to look at it another way, they made any of this.
Yeah,
you know, like they cheated some money out of some people and they made this movie. You know,
I think it's pretty impressive that it mostly looks good.
Mm.
Like, there's not a lot of special effects or moments in this where you're like, ah, that's bad. That looks bad or whatever. You know that Castle Grayskull set.
Uh-huh.
That's actually two separate sound stages, and they knocked the wall out of the middle. So that was apparently the largest.
Without the landlord's permission.
Yeah, 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 it's fine.
Yeah.
That was apparently like the largest set Hollywood had seen in like 40 years.
Huh.
And you get the sense of scale from
that.
Yeah,
right. Uh-huh.
But like beyond that, yeah, it's like a music shop and a street.
That's exactly right.
And a chicken place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. they even got, and this fascinates me, they got Bill Conti to do the music. And,
yeah.
And Bill Conti, of course, for people who don't know, among other things, wrote Gonna Fly Now, the Rocky theme.
Mm.
But in this, he's produced a real bargain basement Superman theme for the opening. Just horrendous.
Got the swooping
title, you know, sequence, yeah.
Well, this movie and Superman 4 is the reason why Canon,
yes,
like, shut down.
That's right.
So I guess that's what that's the aesthetic they were going for.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Just his leftover stuff. Just some tapes he left behind as he was running from the tax man.
So He-Man in this.
None of us were ever here. This is a pet shop.
So He-Man in this.
Yes.
Played by Dolph Lundgren.
The wonderful Dolph Lundgren, who I love, but I think he's out of his depth here.
I think, though, there's a reason for that, is because he's very early to acting.
Mm.
He'd been Ivan Drago. Ivan Drago, not a big speaking part, you
yes,
know?
That's true.
And he was still learning English. By the way, this guy, real-life genius.
Yeah.
Is he an astrophysicist or
something like
chemical
that,
engineer or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He keeps his knowledge in his big muscles.
Exactly.
Here's a note I have.
Sure.
Cartoon He-Man, generally speaking, doesn't have a cape.
No.
This guy has a cape most of the time. And I think it's because Dolph Lundgren didn't want people to see his bottom.
Well, I saw his bottom.
Did you?
Sometimes.
Wow. Even the scene at the end where the cape is stripped off him and they're whipping him with a laser whip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You never see below
maybe
his waist.
I just imagined seeing his bottom.
I think maybe you just imagined seeing his bottom. But I think, you know, the lesson here, I think, is, you know,
give us a look at your bottom.
Give us a look at your bottom. The lesson here is, you know, even if you're just an absolute, you know, chiseled Adonis of a man, you can have, you know, the world chips away at you and gives you little insecurities, and also work harder, dummy. Get those glutes working.
Absolutely.
You know?
So what's interesting about that is he wanted to wear like a longer pants because he's in like little leather underwear, which
yeah.
is, that's He-Man.
Especially, but I mean, you know, chafing issues, especially if you're
totally
running.
And they wanted to put him in like little underpants and like big boots. Mm. And so the way they convinced him, no, the big boots and the leather underpants, that's much cooler and much more masculine. So that's why he's in it. He was like, I don't want to wear this.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's cool, trust us. It's cool and normal. So apparently some stipulations for the character of He-Man in this is no love interests, can't kill anyone. So that's why all the stormtroopers are robots, right? Also, they went to him and said, listen, you're big. We love how big you are, but we got a problem. You're too big. You're going to have to do all your stunt work yourself because we can't get a stuntman who's as big as you.
Also, we don't want to pay for one.
It was a lie.
Yeah.
It was that big. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I've encountered the Cannon Group before.
So Dolph Lundgren said in a French magazine just after this was released that working on this film was a nightmare. The shooting schedule was 5 months and included 2 months of night shooting. And imagine just being this big all of the time.
Right?
That's hard work. I know people are like, yeah, roids and et cetera and whatever, but it's still very difficult to to look and maintain this. Because he's not doing it for, like, a 30-second shirtless scene. He's shirtless the entire movie.
Yeah. And there are, no, you would think that at a certain point you'd go, oh, they're on Earth now. He'd better disguise himself. And maybe he puts on a pink shirt and they call him Adam or whatever. That'd be a bit of fun, right?
Yeah.
But nope, he's got to be shirtless and oiled.
Absolutely.
The entire movie, you know?
And speaking of shirtless and oiled, so Frank Langella plays Skeletor. And he wanted initially for him to look more like the cartoon, as in, like, less covered up. The opposite of a Dolph, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But Gary Goddard, who was the director...
I want everyone to see my bottom, said Frank Langella said.
So Gary Goddard objected to Frank Langella showing off his body in the movie because he didn't want Skeletor to be sexy.
Oh.
So this was dropped.
Well, the internet has proven him otherwise.
Yeah, it's too late.
Yeah.
He's very sexy. Good makeup on him, I reckon, as well.
I think so, too.
This Skeletor, as a kid... terrified me. Absolutely shit my pants seeing this. And even now, coming back to this like 30 years later, I'm
your
like,
bowels are rumbling.
Yeah, just I see it at first, I'm like, huh, it's that guy I was afraid of. So Frank Langella actually went on record in an interview stating that playing Skeletor was one of his favorite roles.
I think his kids wanted him to do it.
Yeah, his young son was a huge fan and loved running around the house shouting, "By the power of Grayskull." So he took on the role. He even wrote some of his own lines like, "Tell me about the loneliness of good He-Man. Is it equal to the loneliness of evil?" When I heard that, I went, shit, that's like a real line in a real movie.
This is Shakespeare.
Somewhat.
This is oily Shakespeare with laser guns.
Well, Evelyn's like, there's something Shakespearean about, you know, her and her relationship with Skeletor. And he's like, I just quest for power and whatever. By the way, fucking 6 second outfit, Skeletor.
Right.
Love what you're going for there. Really good. You look fucking amazing. Disagree?
No, I firmly agree.
Mm.
Isn't it interesting, though, that He-Man's magic sword is only magic for, like, the last 5 minutes of that movie?
What do you want, Mason?
Magic the whole time.
Yeah. I don't really love the design of it, either. They could have used the classic design, but there's a reason why they didn't. We'll come back to it.
Is it money?
Probably, but another thing. I also love some of the designs in this. There's four freaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just some good, scary creature design.
There's four freaks... who have an awful lot of trouble tracking down one teenage girl from Earth.
Yeah, man.
Just they're running her a merry chase, bloody.
Well, she was in
Friends.
She was in that Bruce Springsteen film clip.
Of course,
know?
That's right.
She's dancing on out of there, Mason.
Okay, cardio is good, is what you're saying. Yeah, that's okay, what I'm saying. I love that.
Do you see the lizard guy's got like an inflatable neck? Apparently, he had a straw in his mouth, so he would like inflate it on the go. Those four,
yes,
and I know some of them aren't classic He-Man characters.
Blade was new. I remember Blade's being new. Like
Beastman's from whatever. But I think that's very Castle Grayskull, Snake Mountain, He-Man.
I think if they'd given them a little bit more colour,
yeah,
they'd be more authentic to the cartoon. But sure. It is, you know, I guess you bring it to the real world, they all got to wear black, you know.
I feel like, though, this movie, I haven't mentioned this, it's not that bad.
It's not that good.
It's not that good either. I know. But I feel like... I mean, the Earth stuff in the middle.
Yeah, there's
a battle in the streets and they're bringing some of their weird ships to Earth. I think all of that looks pretty good and there's some compositing of things flying around, which is pretty fun.
I think it's good for the budget they had, which I presume was very low. But it's
higher than you think.
Yeah. Recently on our podcast, The Weekly Planet, we've been sort of bemoaning this idea of like all big blockbuster movies have to cost like $200-300 million.
Well, I love that. You're bemoaning. I'm for it.
That's right. And if they don't make $1 billion, they're considered a failure. And we've been like, well, maybe, you know, the presence of the low to mid budget movie will reemerge in Hollywood. And I'm like, what an incredible idea. And then I rewatch this and I'm like, ooh, maybe I spoke too soon. Maybe there's a flaw to that.
Okay, sure.
Don't go too low.
I appreciate that. But I feel like
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When they come back to Castle Grayskull at the end and there's a final battle and they bring over Marty McFly's principal and he's like, I'll shotgun some robots or whatever.
That's right.
Or whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just some freaks.
Yeah.
I love all of that.
Come with me, Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. We're going to team up.
I feel like there's like a little bit of effort going on there.
Okay.
And I loved at the end of the movie.
That was the Canon Group's motto, a little bit of effort.
A little bit of effort, if you don't mind.
A little bit of effort and a lot of tax evasion.
But no stuntmen.
No stuntmen. We can't afford it.
Yeah. But I love that character also. At the end, he's like, well, when I go back to Earth, I could shoot anybody here. And I got a beautiful woman.
That's right.
I live in this castle now.
I can shoot her if I want. And bring me another one.
So here's the thing. The reason it is the way it is because this is based on the toys and not
That's the name of the making of. This is the way it is.
Whether you like it or not. Yeah. It's based on the toys, not the animated series.
Okay, sure.
And if you did the animated series straight up, you'd have to put in like the tiger. There's things
my
in
God,
that.
God, then was never a tiger.
Never a tiger. Yeah. Also, this is the first time I'd experienced a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Skeletor's coming up and he's like, hello, I'll see you again.
That's right. I'm just lounging in this pool. I'm having a lovely time.
Absolutely. But we didn't. There was going to be a sequel, which we'll get to. But before we do that, let's talk trivia, Mason.
All right, let's do it.
Or as I like to call it, Masters of the Unitrivia.
Masters of the Unitrivia.
Yeah. So Mattel, the toy company that produced the original He-Man toys, ran a contest where the winner would get a role in this new He-Man movie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And do you think we can still enter?
Yeah. Great. I mean, the guy won it already, but
recently?
No, he won it in 1986 when this was filmed.
Huh.
Yeah. So the production was under a great deal of pressure to finish on time and under budget, so director Gary Goddard had to squeeze the contest winner into the shoot. The winner...
to squeeze him into a costume.
Yep. The winner, Richard Suponda...
Okay.
...is Pig Boy, who hands Skeletor his stuff when he returns from Earth. And he's even listed in the end credits. But at a 2012 PowerCon panel on the film, Richard Suponda stated that the night after he filmed his cameo in the film, his face was burning and he was in agony from the removal of the mask, which was glued to his face and was ripped off.
Oh, no. Well, they ought to run.
Yeah.
From the IRS, probably.
Exactly.
You work in a pet shop.
The Skeletor mask actually found new life, speaking of Star Trek.
It's pronounced Skellingtor.
The Skellingtor mask found new life in Star Trek The Next Generation and Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Whoa.
As the face of a skull-faced alien that Worf often fights in the holodeck.
Oh, there's a lot of little Star Trek references in this. Not deliberately.
Lasers, because blasters.
Tom Paris,
lightning,
for example.
Guy falls down a pit.
Chelsea Field, who plays Teela, married to Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula.
Star Trek Enterprise, yeah.
And Scott Bakula rhymes with Dracula.
That's right.
Frank Langella played Dracula.
Whoa.
Probably.
God, everything in Hollywood links together, doesn't it? Probably.
Nepotism.
It's nepotism, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Christina Pickles, who plays a sorceress,
okay,
and Courtney Cox, who plays Julie Winston, apparently, went on to play mother and daughter in Friends.
Friends?
You didn't recognize her from Friends, but I did.
I didn't recognize her from Friends because I just knew her as, in this movie, as a woman who's wearing a jean jacket made of jeans.
Oh, yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible. That's the 80s, baby.
Do you think that's a real Sarah Connor situation at the start, where she's like, I'm working in a restaurant. Hope nothing fucking weird happens.
Yeah. I think it was also a fun, they were like, let's give this character an arc.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Don't worry about it. But she's like, oh, I always feel sad because my parents said, let's go up in a plane. And I said, I won't go up in a plane. And then the plane crashed. So I think it's my fault. How is it your fault?
That's a very specific thing that your parents are doing.
Yeah. Mm. Right. And at the end...
Your problems aren't like my problems, is what I'm saying, Courtney Cox.
That's right. But then at the end, she gets sent back in time. She's like, you can't go on the plane. I'm stealing the keys. And then her boyfriend shows up and she's like, I've solved the problem. You sure? You sure about that? You sure about that? You sure he doesn't have a spare set of keys?
Maybe
or he'll get the keys back from you because you're a child?
Maybe this is what caused it in the first place.
Right?
This is a time loop.
Oh, my God. The loop is closed.
Yeah. Mm. Now, in the official Masters of the Universe comic book adaptation, an alternate ending is used that was written for the movie but never filmed. In the comic, after the final battle between He-Man and Skeletor, Man-at-Arms is in this.
He sure is.
He comes from the depths of Castle Grayskull carrying a NASA and a United States flag. The NASA flag has Starfinder 5, July 10th, 2221 written on it, revealing that the first humans on Eternia were actually from a future American space mission.
Huh.
Yeah. Do you ever think about that?
I have never thought about that and I will never think about it again after this.
Oh, a dog's here.
Hello, Ollie, come here.
How'd you get in here? How'd you get in here, dog? Production designer William Stout took an existing...
Stout by name, stout by nature.
I don't know about that. Here's a picture. Took an existing fast food stand in Lakeview Terrace and transformed it into Robbie's Ribs and Chicken, where Julie Winston works, according to Stout. The same fast food... I forgot to put this in. The same fast food place was later the site of the infamous Rodney King beating.
Oh, boy.
God.
We can still take this out.
It's history, Mason.
I guess. That's what we're all about here.
God. Dolph Lundgren went on record in 1989 with Comic Scene magazine, where he said playing He-Man was his lowest point as an actor.
Oh boy,
he did all right.
Yeah, I think he did.
You were He-Man.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's been asked since, like, more recently, if they make another He-Man, will you be in it? And he's like, oh yeah,
sure, yeah. You got money? You got money?
You got a stuntman?
Yeah. You got money and a stuntman? Do I have to take my shirt off because I'll be the king or whatever? We're the king of Eternia. That's a fun little reference that people like to do these days. You get the old guy, you make him the king of the father of the new guy or whatever.
Exactly.
You know?
People love that.
That's right. But he has to show his bottom.
Yeah, that's true.
The king has to show his bottom.
Man, that's great.
Yeah.
So the budget of this was $22 million.
Okay.
More than I thought.
Mm.
And it was the most expensive canon film.
Oh.
But the box office... was 17.3 million.
Oh, that's less.
I feel like this should have done more like the cartoon.
How do you mean?
And then kids would have turned up.
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Super Mario Brothers movie, the first one. Like, kids aren't going to this. What have you made? What is this? You know?
Oh, look, and I don't know. But I mean...
This property, the toys were like the biggest selling thing for like 4 years in a row.
But as I understand,
it made billions of dollars.
During the filming of this, the sales dropped. Like, they started dropping. So, I mean, maybe this thing was doomed from the start. What is, I think, weird about this movie is that despite the fact that it is based on a toy franchise, it seems to have been at least in part, like, some kind of labor of love. Like, they got in, like, you know, they got in, like you mentioned, they got in...
Ralph McQuarrie
to do
for
a bit to do some of the designs. I think people involved in the production wanted to get Jack Kirby in to do, like, art design and stuff
that.
And, like, why would you bother with that if you didn't care? You
know? Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They thought about some of this.
They were like, this is for adults. They were ahead of their time.
They were.
In a way.
Mm. Mm. But it didn't pay off.
Yeah, so too bad.
You made a big mistake. Why did you do this?
Yeah, why try?
There was going to be a sequel, though.
Oh, yeah.
A Masters of the Universe sequel was actually written and cast.
Masters of the Tooniverse?
Yeah, that's right. They would make that sequel and a Spider-Man film back-to-back. And the sets from the two movies were built, the costumes were made, both movies were fully cast, and the budget of Masters of the Universe Part 2 was set at $4.5 million.
So that's low.
It's way less. Now, you might be like, how would you get around that, though?
Well, I mean, it would be set entirely in a closed shopping mall at night. Oh, no, the cosmic keys trapped us in here. We'll have to do a chase on one of these little cars. You put a coin in it goes up and down.
Should we go into any of these shops? No, we're not allowed to. Could we go into this athlete's foot shop? No. No, we can't. The roller door is down. We won't be going in. So the
you can take up to 2 donuts from the Donut King, though.
So the actor they cast in the sequel was surfer Laird Hamilton.
Okay.
And
Laird by name, Laird by nature.
That's right.
Can we see a picture?
There's a picture.
Okay, great.
He's still around. Australian.
Oh.
And the sequel screenplay, you're not going to believe this, He-Man would have returned to Earth.
Yeah.
Which was the best part of the first movie.
And he gets a job in an apartment.
Kind of. And he was disguised as a professional quarterback.
Okay, sure.
And Skeletor disguised himself as an evil industrialist known as Aaron Dark. This didn't happen because Cannon went out of business.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Also, like, I know they talk about making another He-Man.
Uh-huh.
And there's that series on Netflix,
yep,
which I think does some really interesting things. I know people say, look, it's woke He-Man or whatever. Mm. But this He-Man's from a vegan planet or whatever. What do you think about that?
That's right, because man, Teela's like, oh, what's this? What's this yucky stuff? And Man-at-Arms is like,
bloody, it's a bit of meat.
Also, He-Man's gay. Like, are we...
we're not beating around the bush anymore.
He's always been gay. Like, the thing about him being Prince Adam and becoming He-Man, it's obviously like a coming out
it's
metaphor.
It's an allegory, okay.
Come
right
on, man. What are we doing here?
That's crazy.
It's not crazy.
Very reasonable.
It's reality.
It's reality, baby. It's right.
But I feel like there was a time to make this, and it was in 1985, probably. They missed it.
Oh, they missed it by 2 years.
Yeah. And so if you're going to do this now, I just don't know whether anybody wants that or cares. You have to build a whole franchise from the ground up that's basically Star Wars when you've got Star Wars and you've got Dune and you've got Zack Snyder's Star Wars.
That's right.
Like, what are you doing?
You've got Gareth Edwards' Star Wars.
Got Gareth Edwards' Star Wars.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Star Wars.
You've got the Star Wars in people's heads that they imagine when they think of Star Wars, and no Star Wars is ever good enough. And every subsequent Star Wars is way worse because it's not just Luke Skywalker wielding 16 lightsabers with the Force. Just cutting down AT-ATs or whatever.
Yeah.
You can't compare to that.
You
certainly can't do it with He-Man.
You read my screenplay.
I did. It's bad. It's dreadful.
Come on, mate. Anyways, anything can be good.
Mm.
I mean, I love the world of Eternia.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
It is weird. And I think, you know, and it much maligned, but I think Thor the Dark World sort of took the torch of that and did this kind of combination of science and magic that I think looks pretty cool.
Mm.
But I'm the only one, apparently.
Yeah. You like the bit where the guy's arms cut off and he's like, I got blood arms.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
I might put that in my screenplay, actually. Which you loved?
Yep. And now I do.
you're not going to get a writing credit.
Ah. Can I be Bobby Blood Arms?
You can be Bobby Blood Arms, yes. Anyways, if you like these videos...
And why wouldn't you?
And why wouldn't you? What's wrong with you? You can actually see them early.
Get it together,
Get it together. You can actually see them early if you head over to bigsandwich.co, where they always go up early. But there's a bunch of other stuff there. There's bonus movie commentaries. There's video game Let's Plays.
That's right.
Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that comes out there early on Sunday as opposed to Monday, and all of that is ad-free and exclusive.
Terrific.
But of course, maybe you just want to subscribe here or check out our podcast, The Weekly Planet, which comes out every Monday, as mentioned.
And why wouldn't you?
And why wouldn't you?
Get it together.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
What do you think of He-Man? Not you, James.
Yeah.
You've already given your opinion.
I like
him. That's pretty clear.
I like him.
But the listeners and the viewers, what do they think?
I don't know.
I'm testing out sound off in the comments. Sound off in the comments, folks. Give us your opinions.
Yeah, tell us your opinions.
Give us your piddling little opinions.
Tell us what you think about Kevin Smith's woke He-Man. I want to hear about that every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Just from people being like, I'm mad at this. I want to hear that.
Have you ever had a weird dude in a Skeletor costume do a 20-minute video where he's like, you don't get He-Man? Has that ever happened to you?
He's gay. I get it. I fucking get it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Grab that gym, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.